Today is Mother's Day, and we're thankful for that. And if you have your outline, I put it in the notes page of the YouTube link, but it's also in your weekly update as well. We'll do our best to try to articulate that this week well. So this week we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So we'll be getting a whole three verses wrapped up in what Mother's Day seems to be today. But, you know, today we came together to truly worship the Lord. And today, I so wish we could do this face-to-face because we came to honor mothers on this very special day. Not only are we commanded to love our mothers, we're commanded to obey them, we're commanded to respect them, right? It's also sensible. I mean, imagine us using common sense and loving our mothers. It's the very kind and loving thing to do. So many of you are blessed to be with your mothers either right now, or you may be with them later today, and you make your own choice on that. But it'd be great to be able to see your mother today in some fashion, whether it be screen to screen or face to face. But there's also those of us that don't have mothers who have passed on already. And today is a great day of not only respecting and loving our mother, but loving the memory of our mothers as well, and what it means to honor them and respect them and appreciate them. So my first illustration, because I have a couple today, I hope you can get on board with that with it being Mother's Day. The first one is a six-year-old boy separated from his mother at the supermarket began to call frantically, "Olivia, Olivia, Olivia." That was his mother's name, by the way. And she came running to him quickly. "But honey," she rebuked him, "you shouldn't call me Olivia. I'm mother to you." "Yes, I know," he answered. "But this store is full of mothers." I think that's kind of the illustration you want to draw from that, because our world is full of mothers. Full of mothers. We only have one, though, who birthed us, right? We have lots of special women in our lives, but we have one mother who is special to us. And that should be. That should be the way, because you have one mother, and it must always be that way. There is no one like our mothers in our lives, and no one can take that place. So today, on this great Mother's Day, for some of you in our banner ladies who are celebrating your very first Mother's Day, and for those very special women that are pregnant right now, getting ready to celebrate next year, today is a great day to look forward to that. Because I think our banner women are special and kind. And this is exactly right. Respect, honor, and respect your mothers today. Now, of course, you know, it can't always be all, you know, heartfelt and warm and fuzzy warm inside because, well, I wouldn't be your pastor if that was the case. So I have something I would say funny, I think. Maybe it's on my own humor too, which is probably a problem that I'll have to work out later. But today, this is not something I wrote myself. It's something that's been spread throughout many moons from here. But we're going to start off with going to our first slide, which is things my mother taught me. Things my mother taught me. And that's one of your fill in the blanks. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a job. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What are you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back. My mother taught me humor. when that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me genetics. You are just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. My mother taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when we get home. And what I would say is my all-time favorite of this list is she taught us justice. One day, you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then, you'll see what it's like. So, my clicker isn't working, Vince, so we'll go ahead and go forward to the my second slide. It's my intro, my true intro this time. See, this reading is something that I thought would go perfectly with today. A thought of remembrance of mothers, and although sometimes they teach us some very great things, love and compassion and empathy. Sometimes they teach us funny things too, as you can see by my list. And I would venture to say that every single one of you have heard some variation of those sayings. Some of you probably heard all of them, and maybe even more. So when you look at this that I read there for you guys to be a little funny, to be ready for today and get into Mother's Day, the name of this sermon this week is Pass On the Legacy of Christ. Pass on the legacy of Christ. And that's kind of where I want to come to today. And that's why we'll be addressing 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7 in this. And your first fill in the blank is this. Well, your second fill in the blank. Are you leaving a lasting impact on your children that will teach them the legacy of Christ? Are you leaving a lasting impact on your children that will teach them the legacy of Christ? See, that's where we're going to go today. Now, I know when we have Mother's Day sermons and even Father's Day sermons, it's usually something to do with, are we doing it right? Or are we doing it wrong? And here's the reality. I don't know. I am not a fly on a wall. I have no idea. But what I do know is that Scripture tells us very clearly what we should and should not do. The way we should encourage one another. The way we should grow in one another. The way we should parent. The way we should just adult. So I just turn to Scripture every single time. And whether you get something out of this as, man, I feel good about that. Or if you feel convicted, then I'll let you take that up with the Holy Spirit. But it's Mother's Day. And know this, you are loved. So let's go into our first fill in the blank in our main body, which is this. Mothers, you have a legacy to pass on. And we'll be referencing chapter 1, verses 5 in this, in 2 Timothy. And it reads like this, clearly, recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother, Lois, then in your mother, Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. See, this is a great piece of scripture. A lot of times we gloss over this piece of scripture because it's so concise. It's very purposeful. It has the moment right there saying exactly what Paul means. That it lived in Christ, which means she believed in Christ. Lived on in Eunice, which means Eunice was a believer. And then now lives on you, Timothy. So it seems so cut and dry. So when we read this piece of scripture, sometimes we just read right through it. But let's not miss the important factor here. In your fill in the blank in this, it says, sincere faith has a ripple effect and is marked by. Sincere faith has a ripple effect and is marked by. Let me start off by just saying that before I go into what the actual points are. You see there, when Paul mentioned in verse 5, your sincere faith. See, there's a big difference in that. There's a reality that we come to Christ and we get to know Christ and we want him in our lives, but we don't do much with that. We don't bring honor to him on a daily basis. But the example here is that the grandmother believed, the mother believed, and now Timothy believes. Their sincere faith grew roots in who Timothy is. And Timothy is a believer because of his believing grandmother and believing mother. And that is a great way to look at the sincere faith. You see that ripple effect? Grandmother, mother, child. What a great way to have a sincere faith. And here's what they're marked by. Number one is this, an eager motivation to discover, embrace, and pursue a deepening intimacy with the Lord. I'll say that again. An eager motivation to discover, embrace, and pursue a deepening intimacy with the Lord. Wow. Seems like a mouthful. But the reality is that's really what we're called to do, to be of Christ and with Christ. Now today we're specifically talking to mothers, but this is a universal principle. Today just happens to be Mother's Day. But the message of this, you could plug in anybody, grandfather, father, son. The reality is that we are to have this eager motivation. Be ready. Go out and get it. Study scripture. Practice our faith. Grow in what it means to have belief. But not just that, but truly embrace it. Not just that campfire moment where it's like, oh, I come to Jesus, I'm all good. But the reality that you embrace that belief, you embrace who you are as a Christian, and then you desire to grow deeply in what it means to have that belief in Christ. You see, your relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't stop on day one. I'm a believer. I'm all good. Now, there are those who are grateful for their fire insurance. And they're like, oh, I'm all good. I believe I accepted Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. See, that's where the change is. See, a sincere faith and belief and desire to grow in the Lord is something that will compel you to grow more and more like Christ every day. So your first one is the eager motivation. You got to have that. And the second one is this, an active, visible connection between belief and everyday living. See, it's not Sunday morning faith that we want to see, that God wants to see. It's that everyday living it out. See, it's easy to come in on Sunday morning and sit in the chairs and worship the Lord, praise Jesus, right? The Sunday school answer of Jesus is everywhere throughout these halls. But it's when you live your day-to-day life in and out, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, homeschooling, whatever it is that you do, it's about living out your life day to day. See, that is a mark that will cause a ripple effect, as if you're taking a stone and throwing it in the pond and causing the ripples. Your faith walked out is that ripple effect. Your faith walked out that your children see you. Think about our new mothers, and I'm thankful that, you know, there's some good examples in their lives, because they're going to be that ripple effect for the child that they're either carrying or just bore. The reality is that the ripple effect is real, and it's a must, and we must be ready for it. Are you growing? Are you deepening your belief in who the Lord is? Are you growing in that intimacy with the Lord? I can't answer that question. Only you can. But what I will say is that. Growing out your belief, living it out day to day. I mean, it's not about preaching to your kid. It's not saying Jesus said so day in and day out. It's about walking your life and living the life of Christ. That is the example for our children. That is the ripple effect that will cause and cascade down generation upon generation. We're coming up on a generation that doesn't want to do anything with church. What example have you shown? And I'm not just saying mothers, I'm saying anybody that's listening to this message. What example have you shown to cause a ripple effect, to cause a cascade? Because the generation coming up right now is leaving the church. Why? Have we been putting our best foot forward? Have we been living by faith and showing that example? Again, the answer is yours to give, not mine to give you. But what I will say is that generation coming up, it's real. And they're leaving the church by thousands and thousands. Let us throw a rock in the pond and cause the ripple effect to change that course. Now, a bonus, something I thought about when I was finishing my preparation this morning is this. Perseverance and an unwillingness to give up on the goodness of God. Mothers, you know what the best example for your kids is? Not living out day in and day out of what it means to live for Christ. But when bad things happen, get on your knees and pray. Trust in the goodness of God. Because mothers, bad things are going to happen. Your children are looking to you to show them how then to live it out. Do you cower in fear? Or do you get on your knees and pray and trust in the Lord our God? See, that's an example that can't be taught in school. It can't be taught in seminary either. That example of living out life day in and day out to what it means to trust in the Lord, your God, that He is good. And if you were here, I know your reply would be all the time. That is the truth that we live in. See, sincere faith, it reaches cross-generationally. It is not just your family. Now, a lot of us like to say, you know, it's my family and it's just me and my personal family. I'm not affecting anybody else. But the reality is like I, Teddy, affect my nieces and my nephews, my great nieces and nephews, my brothers, my sister, my kids, my wife, my friends. See, the reality of my walk is that I affect generation after generation after generation. We have to realize that as believers in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be my age or older than me to start having that belief that we are cross-generationally, that we expand beyond just this moment. It is not just our kids, because the stories your kids tell about you when you pass away are going to be the stories that they remember. Because you made an impact on your kid that then makes an impact on their kid. See, that, when you go across generation like that, is the reality. But it requires that sincere faith, not just Sunday morning, Jesus is the answer. Because that is true. But there's so much more to that. There's so much more to the reality of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. We must live that out. The reality is your personal journey starts with the work of God. He calls you to Him. And He's asking you to step out in faith. He's asking you to walk the walk. He's asking you to walk in reality of what it means to have sincere faith. Are you walking in sincere faith? See, this sincere faith is really who Christ is. He's all about love, compassion, empathy. And he does those on our behalf. See, he's taught us how to be compassionate, empathetic, loving, caring, kind. And he requires it of us. When you admit that you have sincere faith, that is what calls you to it. You must have that sincere faith and realize the true gift of God. Move on to my next main point, which is, mothers, you must choose to fan your gift into flame. Mothers, you must choose to fan your gift into flame. See, the reality is we're all given something. We're all given gifts. And, you know, a few months ago, we took a bunch of spiritual assessments that kind of talked about our giftedness and kind of where we stood in spirituality. But knowing is not just what it means to actually live it out. See, knowing what our giftedness is cool. But if you're not living it out and using it, then it just kind of stays dormant, right? It's kind of like the gift of sincere faith, that reality of who Christ is, that what it means to live in Christ, that sincere faith. If you're not building it up, if you're not growing in faith, then you're not fanning the flame, which for all of you didn't catch the pun there or the reference, it's about building a fire. So when you build a fire, you have to get more oxygen to it to build that flame up. So treat your gift as a flame and realize that you have to fan the flame for it to grow. So the verse is this. It's chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you, through the laying on of my hands. And your next fill in the blank is this. God is equipping you to stand the test of time. God is equipping you to stand the test of time. See, that's something that we don't understand sometimes. We forget that God is still working in us day in and day out. That when we accept Him is not our end goal. Our end goal is when we reach heaven. See, we have to understand that He is growing us right now. Every day, He is fanning us into a bright, bright flame. If we're willing, if we accept, He is causing us to be a bright flame because we are to be His light to the community, light to our families. The reality is, it's not finished yet. We're all still on this earth. We're not in our heavenly home yet. There's time to grow into a brighter light. And God is growing that flame in us. So fan your gift to be a bright light to the community, to your family. Be that light. We can trust Him solely, completely, that He is good and He is not done yet. Because He hasn't called you home. Yet. If you look at Philippians 1:6, and I'll read it for you, but write that reference down. Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. See, God has a very unique way that He wants to pour Himself through each and every one of us. And I'd say our families are numero uno. Now, maybe you're a listener on this broadcast today or that you're a part of our church, and maybe you didn't have children you have lots of spiritual children right here. I know I say this a lot, but I really mean it. Like when I say this is a church family, that's what it is. That we are in it together. The children of our church are raised by their parents and loved on by their church family. This is something that we have to understand as a church, as a kind and loving church, that each one of you have a gift, and he is fanning the flame as he wants you to be a light to your community and your church. And your church family is a part of that. So remember that. Moving on to our next fill in the blank here. Our next main point is mothers, God wants you to be fully released into your calling and destiny. Mothers, God wants you to be fully released into your calling and destiny. And we're going to be referencing 2 Timothy 1:7 here. For God has not given you a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. The world sometimes makes us fearful. We watch news from all kinds of sources. And I admit, I'm just as lazy as everybody else. Sometimes I don't vet the sources. And we get fearful about everything. We're just constantly inundated with more information, true or not. But these words from Scripture are so important for us to understand. So I'm going to read it again. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Your fill in the blank that's attached to this is this. A spirit of timidity is not a sign of pity before God. It is a time to break the curse over our lives. You see, we allow the fear in our lives. We allow it to take root, to take hold. And that fear squashes our innovation, squashes our love, squashes our empathy, squashes our compassion. That is what happens. And that is a curse of this world. In this playground of Satan, who wants to spiritually affect you. So how is he going to do that? He's going to inundate your feeds with things that make you fearful. That is a curse of this world. But trust in the Lord with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul. And be reminded that 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. So trust in his word. Trust in his measure that he calls you. That spirit of timidity is something that will corrupt our lives. He gave us strength and encouragement so that we can use our sound judgment in this world that is corrupt. That spirit of timidity, it comes with associated fear, worthlessness, lack of courage, or an inclination to hold back our love for those that we love and care about. God is filling us with his Holy Spirit right now, in this moment, so that our lives can be marked with explosion and influential power. How great would it be for a church of wonderful mothers and women to rise up to lead our families out of fear? How great would it be for our fathers, husbands, and dads of the congregation to do the same. To not have a spirit of timidity, but have a reality of what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and be explosive and influential. Because that's what he's called us to do. That's what he calls our missionaries to do around the world. And that's what he's calling us to do right here, in our state, in our community. Be explosive. Be influential. Do not be constrained by a spirit of timidity. Allow our hearts to be open. Because I'll say this, the more that you dive in the Word, the more that you gain that reality of who He is, that is what's called discipleship, which means you're growing in knowing Christ. When you have a disciplined mind that is not deceived by these temporal circumstances of life, then that is one that is walking without the spirit of timidity. That you use sound judgment in the reality of living our life day in and day out. I want to lean into our wrap up here. I don't really ever have a good sermon that only fits women or only fits men during Father's Day. I feel strongly that you just preach the word. And if it leads you towards something, you go with it. I don't know what God has for you today. I don't even know what this situation is that he wanted the scripture pronounced today. But whatever's going on in your heart, whatever's going on in your mind, whatever's going on in your stomach, the pit of you, who you are, let his words reign out. Let his strength build you up. Let his grace fill you. Let his love compel you to be who you are, which is a light to this community, light to your family, light to your church family, and be strengthened in that. And your final fill in the blank today is this. What God is accomplishing in you, he also wants to see it passed on through you. And see, that is kind of the biggest reality. We all are building a legacy. Is it one you're proud of? Not in a prideful manner, but are you proud of the legacy you're leaving for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren? How will they remember you? Will they remember you as a godly woman? And again, godly man, so forth. Will they remember you in that way? Will they remember that you did not have a spirit of timidity, that you were explosive and influential because Christ goes before you and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? The women I know at Banner are that strong, are that gracious, are that loving. So what I do in the end of this sermon is this. We are here to honor mothers. But I hope that you men were not tuning this message out. This message was for all of us. To be reminded what it means to honor God and be his light. So on this Mother's Day 2020, I wish all the mothers out there a very, very happy Mother's Day. And know, I long for the time that we're back together again, face to face. But until then, we continue to go screen to screen. And let me close out the service in prayer. Father, thank you for the way that you encourage us, guide us, and direct us. Father, I'm so grateful for you and the women of Banner. I'm so thankful for the mothers of Banner. I'm so thankful for the way that you have blessed us with so many great examples. I'm thankful for the life that Timothy had, to have a wonderful grandmother, a believing grandmother who passed that on to her daughter and then who passed it on to him. That is a generational love that is not comparable to anything of this world. So Father, may you build us up. May you grow us to be something that we could have never imagined. And may we see your accomplishments in us through our children, through our church family. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next week.